Catch all the Caps playoff games at Walter's Sports Bar and Navy Yard, across from Nationals Park. Plenty of TVs for you and your friends to watch Ovechkin and crew take on the Rangers.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fires. And a ground ball to first. Sprawling stop. Meneses tags the bag. Throws to second. Otani's hung up. It's a double play as Abrams tags him out. What a play by Meneses, a screaming one-hopper. He fields it, steps on first, throws to Abrams, and just like that, there are two outs and nobody on. What a break. That ball was ticketed for the right field corner, and Meneses, playing just his third game of the year at first base, snares it and starts a huge double play.
Here's the set, and now the pitch. Swinging a ground ball toward the hole. Diving Garcia has it on the outfield grass from a knee. Throw to first, and the inning is over. What a series for Garcia, playing the second base, the series of his life. What a play, diving out of the outfield grass to his left. The kick and the pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out with the slider, running off the plate, and a curly W's in the books. So is a series win in Los Angeles, and a winning three-city road trip going home at 5-4.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Thursday, April 18th. 2024, along with MassinSports.com Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. The Nationals have concluded a 5-4 road trip in California. And go figure, the only series that the Nats lost on the road trip was the series that the perceived worst opponent on the road trip, the Oakland A's. But the Nats wrapped up the road trip with a terrific 2-0 win at the Los Angeles Dodgers on Wednesday to win the series 2-1. The Nats for this regular season now are 8-10, and Davey Martinez now has his 400th regular season win as Nationals manager. Coming up later in the show, an update on the Nats AAA affiliate, the Rochester Red Wings, including, yes, outfielder James Wood, as we will hear from the voice of the Red Wings, Josh Wetzel. But Mark, Jake Irvin and three Nats relievers combining for a 5-hit shutout at the mighty Dodgers. Not a bad way to end a lengthy road trip.
It was a great way to end the trip, Al. And let's be honest, though. They scored 2 in the first inning. Didn't score anything else the rest of the way. How confident were you that at the end of the day, 2 runs were going to hold up and win this game?
Not supremely confident, although I have to say, the Dodgers were not overly impressive in this series. Shohei Ohtani does not look like himself. We saw Mookie Betts have the big game in game 2, but if you didn't know better, these are not the Dodgers of the last few years, at least not right now. Something's off with them.
Yeah, and the crowd here has been a little restless all week, and they've lost a few series here as well. Mookie Betts looked great the other night, not so much in this game. But hey, let's give some credit to the Nationals pitching staff and defense. They had an outstanding game. And really, the 2 games they won to get those kind of starts out of Mitchell Parker and then out of Jake Irvin, those are some big boy outings from a couple of young pitchers for them. And we are seeing with Jake Irvin some growth here, and a guy who may not just be a back end of the rotation starting pitcher. He is looking like something better than that. And he's stringing together some really impressive starts.
You know, last season was the step forward season for Josiah Gray. There has been this expectation / presumption / hope that this season is the step forward season for Mackenzie Gore. but maybe the biggest step forward being taken this season by Nats starting pitcher is by Jake Irvin. We'll see. He has been really good. So Irvin, in this 2-0 win at the Dodgers on Wednesday, tremendous 6 scoreless innings, gave up just 4 hits, which were 2 doubles and 2 singles, 6 strikeouts versus 1 walk. Now, he was pulled after throwing just 73 pitches. But before we get to that, take a listen to what made up those 73 pitches. A whopping 54 strikes versus a mere 19 balls. 54 strikes, 19 balls. He had a strikes to balls ratio of nearly 3-1. Phenomenal. Now, 73 pitches. We know how it is. Young pitcher, you don't want to overwork him. We get that. At the same time, left and right guys are going down with Tommy John surgery. So to me, at this point, it's fair to question anything and everything with how young starting pitchers are being used. But what about a Davey pulling Irvin after 73 pitches? I know he talked about that extensively during his postgame session with you guys.
Yeah, look, it was basically the exact same scenario as last week in Oakland. It was 1 hit allowed in 6 innings. I think it was 74 pitches. As opposed to 73. I didn't love it. Watching him from afar, it looked free and easy. Pumping strikes, as you said, the fastball velocity he maintained throughout, which is not always something he's been able to do. What Davey told us was, watching that last inning, he felt like Irvin had sort of emptied the tank to get those last few outs. And he did. He pumped a 96-mile-an-hour fastball to get Will Smith for the final out. He felt like the bullpen was fresh. Most of those guys were off the day before. They have an off day coming up before the homestand begins. And he felt like with a young starter, that was the time to make the move. Love it, hate it. This is the state of baseball, I think, in 2024. I would love to see a young starter have the opportunity to go deeper, to learn how to do that. Maybe as the season plays out, we'll see that happen. But that was the rationale for it. And I'll just say that, the Nationals are not alone in that line of thinking. But it is tough when you compare this to the night before. Patrick Corbin, who's not pitching nearly as well, gets to come back for the 7th inning and face the top of that lineup and doesn't do well. But that's the difference between a veteran starter that they're not worried about and a young starter who they have high hopes for. And unfortunately, I think across baseball, you're seeing that same approach with everybody.
I wonder how much of this, too, is Davey Martinez doing his Costanza thing of you get the guy out on a high note. He's tossed a nice, clean 6 scoreless innings at the Dodgers. End it while the getting is still good. It's sort of counterintuitive, but maybe with Corbin, because of where he's at and what he now is, it's almost like you don't care if he ends on a high note or not, so you let him pitch longer, as odd as that may sound. Irvin gets out of there, 6 scoreless innings. You look at his season now, 4 starts his regular season, ERA of 3.13. The whip is at 1. The whip is lower than that of Mackenzie Gore. And, Irvin, man, I think it's time to sort of open up the door. You just sort of did it earlier in the show of maybe he's more than just a number 4. Maybe this guy can be a number 3, maybe a number 2. Now, look, he's a bit of an older young pitcher. This is his age 27 season, a 4th round pick in the 2018 MLB draft out of the University of Oklahoma. And you look back at what he did last season. So summoned from AAA last May 3rd. 24 starts last regular season, ERA of 4.61. But for a decent chunk of the season, he was arguably the Nats' best starting pitcher. We talked about that late in the season. July 31st through September 9th, 7 start stretch for Irvin, in which he had an ERA of 2.75. So he has demonstrated an ability to pitch well, and he's pitching well here so far. He has been arguably the Nats' best starting pitcher so far this season.
And most reliable. That was something we saw from him last year over a good stretch of time. And a little bit of a late bloomer, yes. But, the stuff is there. The poise seems to be there. The real thing with him was just kind of avoiding those big innings that would get him that one big home run. He has avoided that here the last few times out. And we saw signs of this in spring training as well. He went on a really nice scoreless streak to end his spring. There were a lot of reasons to feel good about Jake Irvin coming into the season. Remember, he had that talk with Davey and Mike Rizzo after a bad outing in spring when they asked him what was going on. He said, I was working on this, I was working on that. And they said, hang on a second, you're not good enough yet to work on stuff. You need to compete for a job. And he took that message to heart, and he has done it ever since, attacking hitters with a good fastball. I know the Dodgers maybe aren't playing the way they're supposed to yet. That's still a really intimidating lineup. And for him to be able to strike out 6 of them, every single one with a fastball, You have to have confidence in that pitch, and just shows that he does have the stuff, and it just kind of needs to put it all together. And so far, we are seeing that from him.
So next up for the Nats is a 6-game homestand. You have the 3 games against the Houston Astros this weekend, and then after that, we have the Dodgers again. Irvin is slated to start against the Dodgers in that series. I think it's going to be really interesting. Second time around, Irvin versus LAD. What happens? And if Irvin does the Dodgers dirty again, then it's really time to start getting excited. But you got to think that the Dodgers are going to be itching to inflict some harm on Irvin off what happened on Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know if they had a lot of a scouting report against him. You would think they would have, but perhaps they'll spend a little more time worrying about that this next one, because they don't want to have that happen to them again. Certainly not the way they're going right now.
So it's funny, right? It was not that long ago that we were talking about how the Nats pitching, both starting and relieving, had been a disappointment in this young season. Well, lately, the pitching has been better, and the Nats bullpen was a significant part of this 5-hit shutout at the Dodgers on Wednesday. 3 Nats relievers combined for 3 scoreless innings. Robert Garcia faced 3 batters and got 2 outs. Hunter Harvey won in a 3rd scoreless innings with 2 strikeouts. He tossed a scoreless bottom of the 8th despite facing the Dodgers numbers 9, 1, 2, and 3 batters. Gavin Lux, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. And then Kyle Finnegan slammed the door shut, a perfect bottom of the 9th for the save. Irvin obviously was the MVP of this game, but the bullpen held up its end of the bargain.
Yeah, and they were all fresh, ready to go. Garcia had not pitched in several days. He hadn't been feeling real well. He was good. Hunter Harvey, I know he's the setup guy, but he is getting the high leverage hitters, certainly. They made a point to have him be the one to face the top of that lineup. And he's showing an ability here to get out of the 7th and come back for the 8th and do really well. And Kyle Finnegan, what if I told you that Kyle Finnegan leads the league with 7 saves? He's 7-for-8 and his ERA is 3.24. I know reliever stats are a little misleading at times, and I'm not going to sit here and say that he has been lights out, because he has not, but he's probably been a lot better than most of us have realized. You tend to remember the blowups or the near blowups, of which he's had a few, but lately he's been a whole lot better, and kind of like last year, got off to a really bad start and then took off after that and was really, really good for the majority of the season.
He has been better lately, that's for sure. And look, over the course of 162, the bullpen is going to have bad games. We understand that. So it's just, hey, can you more often than not be good? And I think if we're being fair, the Nats bullpen has done some good work here so far this season, certainly lately. Now, again, is it a lockdown bullpen? No. And if it gets, you know, tattooed this weekend, nobody's going to be stunned. But we give credit where credit is due, and the bullpen certainly came through in this game on Wednesday. Hey guys, Al Galdi for Window Nation. Are you frustrated by higher and higher heating and cooling bills? Have you finally had enough of the frigid drafts or moisture coming through your windows? We'll take a listen to the great offer being extended by Window Nation to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. 2 free windows for every 2 windows that you buy, plus 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. 2 free windows for every 2 windows that you buy, plus 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Swing by Abrams at the 1-0 pitch into the air to deep right center field. This is way back. At the wall is Outman. He can only watch. It is gone. Goodbye. C.J. Abrams didn't do it on the first pitch, but he did it on his first swing. Bang. Zoom goes Abrams with his fifth home run of the year. RBI number 11. A game leadoff home run. It's the Nationals 1 and the Dodgers nothing.
You shut out the Dodgers and you don't have to do that much offensively. This was a bizarro game for the Nats offensively. Got off to such an encouraging start. If you just watch the top of the first, you say to yourself, all right, Nats are going to put up, you know, 6, 7, 8 runs in this game. No, all of the runs in the game came in the top of the first. The Nats on Wednesday scored 2 runs in the top of the first. Those ended up being the only 2 runs in the game. The Nats for the game scored 2 runs, totaled 4 hits. That top of the first featured both of the runs and 3 of the 4 hits. The Nats for the game did draw 4 walks, but struck out 11 times, went 0 for 2 with runners in scoring position. Just 2 at-bats with a runner in scoring position the entire game. And yet the Nats won. The only real big hit in this game was by, yes, C.J. Abrams. Another extra base hit, another home run. Abrams as a starting shortstop and number one batter, 1 for 4, solo homer. He and that Nats 2-run first, a leadoff home run to right center field for a 1-0 Nats lead. Abrams has been so good this season. He has been especially good in the first innings of games as the Nats finally are starting to score in the first innings of games. And the extra base hit onslaught continues. 10 of his 18 hits this regular season are extra base hits. 5 home runs, 2 triples, and 3 doubles.
He had a really good trip. And like you said, he sets the tone in the top of the first. I kind of like when they're on the road because it means he gets to be the first batter of the game and he can change the whole tenor of a game with what he does, whether it's just getting on base and then running, or more lately, it's been getting multiple bases and then scoring either from somebody else driving him in or even himself. You're facing a rookie making his major league debut in this one. And I'm sure there's an interesting temptation there. Like, you want to see what he has. You want to make him throw you strikes. Or do you want to be really aggressive? Well, he went up there aggressive. First pitch was out of the zone. He took it. Second pitch right down the middle, and he launched it. And welcome to the big leagues, Landon Knack. You just gave up a leadoff home run to the first batter you ever faced. And the way that was going, I thought they were in for a really good offensive day, and we're going to knock this guy out. Unfortunately, Knack had a knack for getting out of this and pitched quite well after that.
He did, and it was a real juxtaposition, what the Nats did in the top of the first versus what the Nats did the rest of the game. But you look at Abrams in the first innings of games in this series. So the 6-4 win at the Dodgers late night on Monday night, Abrams in a Nats 1-run first, a leadoff first pitch double to the right center field gap, and he scored on a wild pitch by the Dodgers starter in that game, Tyler Glasnow. And then the 6-2 loss at the Dodgers late night on Tuesday night, Abrams top of the first, a leadoff full count single to center field, despite having been down at 1.12. He did then get thrown out at home on that Jesse Winker double to right field, but a hit in the top of the first in each game in this series, like literally setting the tone, right? Literally setting the table. So impactful. And, you know, to go back to this idea of the Nats outplaying the Dodgers and the Dodgers not being themselves, you could argue that Abrams was the brightest star for a good chunk of this series. I mean, it's, you know, Betts went 5 for 5 in game 2. So I know that takes some of the sting out of what Abrams did, right? But like, you tell me, who stood out more as a batter in this series, Shohei Ohtani or C.J. Abrams? To me, the answer is Abrams, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I liked, as you could see from him, he enjoyed playing on this stage. He relished it. And I think he's ready to kind of show the whole baseball world that he is a star in the making. He's not scared of any situation, anybody he's facing, any stage that he's going to be on. We've seen glimpses of this. It's really starting to come together right now. And there is star power oozing out of C.J. Abrams right now, and I don't think it's about to stop. I think it's only going to get better.
The move of him to the leadoff spot last season, man, I mean, he has been like a different player since Davey Martinez did that. I give Davey a lot of credit. You know, coincidence or not, whether that is, you know, causation or correlation, the switch has been flipped, and C.J. Abrams is really emerging here. So yeah, Abrams did what he did, and then beyond that, there just was not much happening in this game. The Nats' other run in the game was scored on an RBI sac fly by Joey Meneses, who started a game for the first time in this series. He was the Nats' starting first baseman and number five batter. He went 0-for-2 with a walk and an RBI sac fly, and he had a stolen base in this game. Meneses hit that two-run first, a one-out RBI sac fly for a 2-0 Nats lead, and Meneses in the top of the sixth, a two-out 11-pitch walk. Despite having been down at 1.12, Andy had to steal a second base. So, you know, we don't know how often now Meneses is going to be starting. He at least was able to put forth some production in this game on Wednesday.
Yeah, Davey wanted to get him back out there and try to give him a little boost of confidence, say, hey, go do something. It was a good at-bat in that first inning for the sac fly, a great at-bat on the walk. It would have been nice if the guy behind him, Joey Gallo, had been able to do something to put the ball in play. He did not. You know, I don't know that Meneses is going to be back playing every single day, but they do not want to give up on him. They want to give him every opportunity to hit his way out of this. Better performance. The stats don't necessarily look like it, but I thought there were some better at-bats from him in this game.
Would you think of Davey having Meneses as the first baseman and Gallo as the DH? Was that just to give Gallo a day of rest from playing in the field?
I think it was that, and maybe trying to get Joey Meneses more engaged. We've heard about him saying he feels better when he's out there in the field. Maybe that, you know, was good for him. He made a great play to snag a 100-mile-an-hour scorcher from Freddie Freeman and start a 3-6 double play. He was really good. Luis Garcia was really good at second base in this game. Garcia, a cleanup hitter in this game, something we have not seen a lot from him, but he's putting together good at-bats to earn that spot, at least given what the other guys are doing right now in this lineup. And it turned into a really good day and series for him.
It did, very much so.
Tim Shover's here to tell you about Game Time. This summer at Jiffy Lube Live, acts include Neil Young, Hank Williams Jr., and Chris Stapleton. If you're interested in finding tickets to any of these shows, make sure to check out the Game Time app. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
It wasn't just the coaches, it was the whole team. I got a beer shower. I'm a little cold, I stink. But I appreciate them. Look, this is never about me. I can't do what I do without those guys in there, and my coaching staff. So I appreciate them very much.
I mentioned this near the top of the show, but Davey Martinez gets regular season win number 400 with the Nats, and there was quite a celebration after the game.
They gave a beer shower, as they tend to do for a lot of these kinds of things. And look, 400 wins over his seventh season now is maybe not the rate that you ideally would like to have. But this guy has stuck through it thick and thin, good times and bad, and is trying to now lead them back out of the darkness into another playoff run. And I think it's impressive the stability he has brought to a position that had none before. Think about the idea, before he was hired, when every 2 years they were changing managers. I don't care what name you came up with. If you had said the next manager of this team is going to win 400 games, you'd probably be pretty surprised by that. It's a testament to him of what he's done and his ability to connect with players both on a veteran winning team and now a young rebuilding team, that he has that kind of staying power.
Yeah, his regular season record as Nats manager is 400-488. So he is 88 games below 500. He has the third worst regular season winning percentage among Nationals managers. Manny Acta has the worst. Jim Riggleman has the second worst. And then Davey is ahead by Riggleman, but not by much, by like 1 or 2 percentage points. And that's it. Dusty Baker is number one in terms of regular season winning percentage as Nats managers. Matt Williams, number two. Davey Johnson, number three. You know, I was thinking about this with Davey. So over the course of an entire season, starting with spring training and then through the regular season, if not the postseason, he must talk to you guys. It's got to be like 400 times when you count every pregame session, every postgame session of the regular season. And then in spring training, he's talking to you multiple times per game day, right?
On game days, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, on game days. Okay. So here we have all these press avails that Davey does over the course of a season. And he's been the manager since, October 2017, right? Yeah, because 2018 was his first season. Has he ever said anything inflammatory or controversial or anything like that? Has he ever put his foot in his mouth? Has he ever brought on problems in terms of saying something that he shouldn't have said? And, you know, I compare that with other coaches and managers in Washington, D.C. area sports. Ron Rivera, over his four seasons as Washington head coach, put his foot in his mouth so many times and contradicted himself so many times and brought on controversy unnecessarily so many times. Davey never does that. And I know there are people who will say that his press avails are boring, and they kind of are. Like, he really doesn't say much. But man, I do think there's something to be said for that. Like, he knows how to talk without saying much, and he never is involved in any kind of controversy in that way. And I actually think he is to be commended for that.
He has been an excellent steward for this franchise at a time when they've needed that. And there were some dark times, and he would end up being the one having to speak for things that maybe he shouldn't have had to speak for, and always says the right thing, never gets himself in trouble, like you said. And, you know, all those times that you said he talks publicly to us, we talked to him a lot beyond that. When the camera comes off, he's a talker. He loves to just converse with people and connect with people. You know, whatever you might think of his X's and O's managing, let me just tell you what a genuine human being he is. He cares about people, both people important and not so important. He treats everyone the same way. And I think there's a reason that he has made it as long as he has, when others maybe would not have. His patience, his optimism, and his ability to connect with all kinds of people of all different ages and backgrounds, I think is really commendable. And truthfully, nowadays, I think that matters more in a manager than, you know, whether you make the right decision to pinch hit here or bring in a reliever here or there. A huge part of the game is communication, both with the public, with us, and with your players. And I think he has done an incredible job of that.
All right. To put an add-on to our Steven Strasburg Nationals 5-year anniversary celebration of the 2019 World Series championship team conversation from the last installment of the podcast, Brian Dozier was on the Sports Junkies on Wednesday morning. And when asked if Steven Strasburg will be attending this weekend's festivities, Dozier said, "I think so."
Is Stras going to be around this weekend?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think from what I've
he resolved his contract situation, so he probably will be.
Yeah, he's not. I saw that.
As we talked about on the last installment of the podcast, the Nats on a Tuesday afternoon, when putting out a list of current and former players who will be in attendance for the festivities this weekend, did not list Strasburg. And we talked about, well, why isn't he attending? You know, what is the deal there? So I would ask you this about Dozier, knowing him as you do. Is he the kind of guy to say something like this and maybe not exactly have it nailed down? Or should we put weight in Dozier having said what he said?
I haven't heard the interview, so I don't know the exact tone of it. I'm going to guess that Brian Dozier isn't someone who is regularly in communication with Steven Strasburg. They were together for one season. I'm going to guess that he was caught off guard and just kind of assumed, yeah, oh yeah, Steven's going to be there. I think so. Maybe not. Maybe he knows something we don't all know. Maybe we have to tune in and find out for sure. But I would guess that Brian Dozier is not necessarily the number one authority on the whereabouts of Steven Strasburg right now.
We shall see. Some intrigue has been added to what's coming up this weekend. So we have the anniversary celebration. We also have three games for the Nats against the Astros. Game one, Friday evening, 6:45, Mackenzie Gore will be the Nats starting pitcher. Game two, Saturday afternoon, 4:05, Trevor Williams will be the Nats starting pitcher. Game three, Sunday afternoon, 1:35, Mitchell Parker will be the Nats starting pitcher. So I guess it's kind of start by start for Parker. How would you sort of frame his presence in the rotation right now?
Yeah, start by start based on how he does, of course, but also it depends on Josiah Gray's progress. It sounds like things are going well there. He may begin throwing relatively soon. I don't know an exact date on that, but Parker earned the right to have a second start. And I think if he, you know, does halfway decent job, I think you give him a third start.
All right. We are putting forth shout outs for you on this podcast this season. If you would like to send a shout out to someone who you care about, you know, a happy birthday, a get well soon, a congratulations, whatever. Email Tim Shovers, the email address, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. And we have this shout out. Best wishes to Holly, who is a huge Nats fan, but is going through a tough time right now. She's a real fighter who is universally loved by all around her during her battle with advanced cancer, including her loving husband, three children, and three grandchildren who love her so much. So all the best to you, Holly, and get well soon. We're all thinking about you. All right, we're going to send you to an update for the Nats AAA affiliate, the Rochester Red Wings, coming up. Like we said, you can always email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on X at @Nats_chat. We have a YouTube channel that we invite you to check out, just YouTube Nats Chat Podcast. And you can look at our lovely faces as we record this podcast. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. So for Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat podcast. And we leave you now with the voice of the Rochester Red Wings, Josh Wetzel, for the latest on AAA Rochester, including James Wood.
The 0-1. Swinging a fly ball towards center field. Going back is Baroa towards the track. At the wall, he'll look up. It's a home run. James Wood's second of the game. And it's 6-3 Rochester.
All right, guys, time for a AAA Rochester Red Wings update for you. As of the time of this taping, the Red Wings have managed to get 13 games in and are 7-6 on the young International League season. Of course, James Wood has gotten a lot of attention. He's off to a really good start, batting .340 with a pair of homers and five runs driven in. Impressively, his on-base percentage ranks among the best in the league with a .476 on-base average. He's walked 13 times, struck out 13 times, so his walk rate has gone up from last year. His strikeout rate, conversely, has gone down. Obviously, very good signs. Another guy who's been very good offensively for the Wings is utility man Jack Dunn, who's actually played a lot of shortstop so far for the Red Wings. He comes into play as of this taping, batting .324, also with a couple of home runs, and he ranks in the top 12 or 13 in the league in on-base percentage and in slugging percentage, thanks to a lot of doubles and even a triple as well. And veteran Juan Yepes has been big at the plate, hitting .277 with three home runs and a team-leading 11 runs driven in, 12 walks, only four strikeouts for Juan Yepes. On the pitching side, Yoan Adone just made his first start for the Wings since coming back from the big leagues and that one start in San Francisco. He picked up his first Red Wings win of the season on Tuesday with five shutout innings, pitched very well in that appearance. DJ Herz, the outstanding young left-handed pitching prospect, has made two starts. He has no record yet, a 6.14 ERA, having allowed five runs in seven and a third innings on six base hits. And the bullpen, a couple of veterans have been very impressive. Jacob Barnes, who's really been with a lot of teams the last few years, has not allowed a run yet, and in seven innings has only surrendered one base hit, eight strikeouts and two walks for Jacob Barnes. And Adonis Medina has also been very, very good. He's pitched in four games, 6 2/3 innings, four hits, no runs. Medina is a former Philly and Met who pitched very well in winter ball in the Dominican Republic, where his pitching coach was the Red Wings pitching coach, Rafael Chavez. They made a few adjustments with him, and he has obviously been very good so far this season. There's an update for you on what's happening right now with the Rochester Red Wings. For more info, head to redwingsbaseball.com.